Well, morning, church. My privilege to bring you the word this morning. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. I'll be reading through to chapter 2, verse 3. So that's 1 Peter 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth with sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice, and all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church family. It is a great joy and privilege to be with you today. It's a great privilege that we can call one another family. That's what Peter's going to talk to us about today. So as we come to this passage, I would invite you to keep your Bibles open and follow along as we track through this passage. But as we do that, let's start by praying. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, what you have done for us. We ask today that you will speak to us through your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have to say to us. We ask today that your Spirit will work through your word to reveal to us your Son, and that by seeing him and what he has done for us, we would be encouraged to live lives for your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a couple of months ago, we had an intruder in our house. This person came in, stole food, made a mess everywhere. And the worst bit of all, they played country music. All right? I'm talking about my mate Jacob. He came from up north. And earlier this year, Jacob had a few housing arrangements fall through. He was looking for a place to stay. So our family, we invited him in to come and stay with us. And Jacob lived with us for a few months. And here's the interesting thing. Jacob belonged in our family. Even though he was an intruder, he still belonged. And the fascinating thing is this. Jacob's belonging shaped how he lived. Because he knew he was welcome, he was comfortable. Because he knew he belonged as a part of our family, he lived like it. He acted like a part of our family. He washed the dishes, ate dinner with us. He even trimmed my grandfather's hedges, which made him the new favorite grandson, but that's besides the point. The main idea is that Jacob lived like he belonged. Now, a similar thing is going on today for Peter's readers. They, like Jacob, have been brought into a new family. They belong in God's family. But because of this new belonging, they also feel that they don't belong in this world. They're cast aside by society. They're outsiders, strangers, as Peter calls them, exiles. So I wonder, have you ever felt like you don't really belong? Like, have you felt that you're out of place in this world because of your faith? How are we meant to live as Christians in a world that says we're strange? Well, today, Peter has good news for us. He's going to remind us that we do belong. Our belonging is found in the family of God. And knowing where we belong changes how we live. All through this passage, Peter's using family language. He's reminding us that we belong in the family of God, and then he's calling us to live like it. We've got five things we're going to cover today. Five things Peter calls us to do because we belong in God's family. This is because living the Christian life looks like remembering we're God's children and then acting like it. I'll repeat that because I think it's the main point of this passage. Living the Christian life looks like remembering we're God's children and then acting like it. In other words, live like you belong. Well, let's jump into it. The first thing that Peter calls us to do is lift our eyes. We are to lift our eyes and see where we ultimately belong. Look at verse 13 with me. Our passage today begins with a therefore. Peter's applying the truth that he's been laying out before. So all the wonderful stuff from last week, that we've been born again through Jesus' resurrection, that even through suffering we have a glorious future and an inheritance ahead of us. What are we meant to do with that truth? Well, we are to lift our eyes. We are to put our focus on that truth. Peter starts. He doesn't want us to be passive. Look at how he begins verse 13. Preparing your minds for action. The literal translation here is gird up the loins of your mind, which is an action call. It's kind of like saying today, roll up your sleeves or fasten your seatbelt. Get ready, because something is going to happen soon. We are also to be sober-minded, that is, clear-headed. So in our minds, we are to be ready, clear-headed. But what are we to put our focus on? Well, it's the coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to Peter's language. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully. This isn't some half-hearted hope. This is hope that banks everything on the coming of Jesus. Hope that lives with eternity in view because grace will be brought to us. The glorious inheritance will be given to us on that day. Eternal life, belonging with God in heaven forever. Notice this begins in our minds. We are to remember where we belong. So let me ask you, dear church, do you long for the coming of Jesus and the life that lies ahead? I mean, is it something that you constantly think about? Or do you need to be encouraged today to lift your eyes? A couple of years ago, a friend of mine was lamenting his own lack of longing for the coming of Jesus. He told me that on the hard days, days of anguish and injustice, he could look forward to the Lord coming and bringing justice and peace. And in one sense, that's what Peter's doing. He's pointing suffering believers to the coming of Jesus. So in the suffering, we need to lift our eyes and see where we ultimately belong. But something my mate said to me on that day that always struck me, stood with me, was that it's actually on the good days that he needed to remember the coming of Jesus even more. Instead of praying, "Come, Lord Jesus," like the saints of Revelation, he found himself instead saying things like, "Lord, just let me get married. Let me have kids. Let me start that job. Let me buy that house. Let me go on that holiday. Let me enjoy that retirement. Then you can come back." He forgot where he ultimately belonged. And if I'm being honest, I, and maybe you, do the same thing. On the Sunshine Coast in particular, where life is beautiful one day and perfect the next, I think we can sometimes be comfortable here and rarely consider the coming of Christ. So today, remember where you ultimately belong, in heaven, as God's family. Heaven is our home, and we're just passing through this world. So whether you feel like an outsider and life is hard, or if life is good and comfortable, we all need to lift our eyes and remember where we ultimately belong. So we belong in heaven, but we also belong to the Father. As we live in light of Jesus' coming, Peter calls us to live holy lives. We are to look like the Father. Let's look together at verse 14 to 16. See how Peter starts by reminding us of who we are. As obedient children, he says. So we belong as children, but how do we live this obedience? Well, Peter tells us, don't fall back into the passions of your former ignorance. Don't go back to how you were before God saved you. You don't belong there anymore. He's saying God has called you to a new life to live as his children. And this life is radically different. It's the life of holiness. Why be holy? Well, because God is holy. Be holy as I am holy. If we're his kids, then we're going to be like him. Now, holy is this word that kind of captures that God is completely pure in every way. He hasn't ever, nor will he ever, do anything wrong. He's perfect, sinless. And it also captures the fact that he is utterly superior to us. He is set apart in a league of his own. And God wants us to be like him, right? Holiness means that we conform to the character of our Father. We become like the Father we belong to. We become more patient, more gentle, more loving, and more trustworthy. That's what holiness looks like. But on the other hand, let me also be clear about what be holy as I am holy doesn't mean. I feel like there's some kind of idea going on at the moment, particularly in Christian circles, that the world is immoral, and so as a result, we need to separate, keep to ourselves, and we end up looking down on the world. But holiness isn't about creating a little holy huddle. It's about conforming to the character of our Holy Father. So look at him. What does the Holy God do? He doesn't stay in a heavenly huddle. Our Holy God lovingly reaches into the mess. If holiness is becoming like the Father we belong to, then here is one way it plays out. Our holy God is loving. Are we? Our holy God came and ate with tax collectors and sinners. He loved them, called them to turn from themselves and find life in him. If we are called to reflect him, do we do that? This is bigger than just praying for people. Do we lovingly go enter into the mess and make disciples in this world? Obedient children, knowing how good your Father is, how holy and blameless he is, we should lovingly go and invite a world of orphans into the family to know and enjoy the Father. That's one example of holiness lived out. We could go on. Our holy God is patient. Are we? We could keep going on and on, but I want you to consider today where you might need to ask for God to work in and through you by his Spirit to conform you more to his character. Is it love or patience? Is it gentleness or self-control? I mean, the way that you live should show the world who you belong to. You belong as his children. So now we trust him by his Spirit to make us more like him. Peter goes on. The third thing that he calls us to do as God's children is point three, learn to fear. Have a look at verse 17. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. When we are feeling like strangers and outsiders, Peter is calling us to learn to fear the right thing, God. Remember who you belong to, he's saying, And I think the way that Peter unpacks the fear of the Lord here, it's so helpful. He puts the titles Father and Judge together. I feel like in each of us there might be a tendency to see God as more of a loving, tender Father or a fierce, just Judge. But Peter says it's not either or, it's both and. God is both Father and Judge. So as we learn to live lives of fear in our time of exile, we fear God by holding these two titles in balance. The one we call on freely as Father also sits enthroned as Lord of the universe. And this changes how we live. Knowing who we belong to, it means the one that watches over us and holds us accountable does so with the spirit and heart of a father. Now, today, I want to acknowledge the fact that not everyone has had a positive experience with fathers. Some of you have had to walk through so much hurt, so much pain because of fathers. But when we talk of God as Father, we remember that He's holy, He's blameless, He can't sin. And if He can't sin, that means He can't sin against you. And if He can't sin against you, that makes Him the most trustworthy Father there is. Unlike earthly fathers, our Heavenly Father is perfect, completely trustworthy. And so, fearing God as Father and Judge is like having a perfect and loving Father who is also an authority in your life. You're not afraid He's going to hurt you or kick you out of the family, but you have a reverence for Him in how you live. I mean, look how good God has already been to us. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Father knows you. Chapter 1, verse 3, the Father is merciful to you. Chapter 1, verse 4, the Father has made us heirs with Jesus. That is a Father worth submitting to. Peter says, you fear Him like a child would fear a loving father. You have a deep awe and respect for His authority. And so you want to live in a way that pleases Him. That's the picture here. But we're also to live these fearful and reverent lives because of God's work of redemption, the fact that He has bought us out of slavery. In verse 18 to 19, Peter plays some glorious gospel music. Listen to him. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Notice the family language again. You used to be a part of this family, and now you're a part of a new one. Right? If Peter's writing to Jews or Gentiles, he's still making a similar point. Your life before God was an empty way of life. Whether it was legalism or license, whether you tried to earn your way into heaven by your own moral efforts, or if you ran in the opposite direction to God and chased pleasures, it's all empty. Neither had the power to save. That is why God ransomed us. He brought us out of this slavery, this emptiness, and He bought us with the most precious currency of all, the blood of Jesus, the blameless lamb slain for us. Gold or silver never had the power to pay for sin and buy us freedom. Only the perfect and sacrificial blood of Jesus shed on the cross. This is good news, wondrous news. But Peter isn't done singing the glorious tune of the gospel yet. Verse 20 and 21. He, Jesus, was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest. He was revealed in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Think about this. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Before there was let there be light, there was the Lamb that was slain. Before the earth's foundation, God set His redeeming love on you. And then 2,000 years ago, in the land of Israel, God revealed Jesus. He made him manifest for your sake. The author put himself on the page for your sake. For your sake. That is both a corporate and a personal promise. I feel like we might believe this for others. We can look at a guy and go, yeah, he's got his life together. I can see how God gave himself for him. I think we can forget it for ourselves. In fact, I know we forget it for ourselves. So let me say this again. God gave his son for you. For you. Sinful and broken mess of a life, you. He came to this earth and lived a completely holy life for you. He gave his life as a sacrifice on the cross for you. The most precious substance in the universe, his blood, was spilled for you. And then God raised him from the dead and glorified him for you, so that you would have a living hope in God. You belong because of Jesus. If all of this is true, this wondrous news, and it is, then how could we go on living flippant and irreverent lives? This is what Peter is showing us. If God has ransomed us from a futile way of life, why would we return? So let me say to you today, don't go back. Maybe you feel the subtle pull to your former life. When the pressures of this world get to you, when you feel like an outsider and life is hard, maybe you feel like going back. I know I sometimes do. But it's all empty in the end. It's in those very moments where we need to remember where we belong. Not back there. We belong to the Father. And look how much it cost him. The life of his son. So we don't take that lightly. Instead, we learn to fear. Friends, remember who you belong to, the Father and Judge. Remember why you belong. You were bought by the Son. And then live like you belong, living these fearful and reverent lives in the midst of this world. Okay. So we belong in heaven, we belong to the Father. But what about the people sitting next to us today? When most of us think of belonging, we think of a community, a family, or a group. And Peter also says in this passage, we belong to one another. We have a new family. And so we live like we belong to God's family by loving each other. Point four. We are to love our siblings. Verse 22 tells us that because we have obeyed the truth of the gospel, there is a purification that goes on in us that leads to love of others. This love flows out of our new birth, our new belonging. Look at verse 23. We are to love since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. I don't know if you caught that, but it's kind of weird that Peter, in calling us to love one another, points us to the word of God. As we read that, he's quoting Isaiah 40, verse 6. But what's Peter doing? Well, I think he's trying to show us the enduring nature of our belonging. Right? He points us to the fact that we have been born again through the living and abiding word of God. Whilst the flower and flesh fall, the word of the Lord stands forever. And if this everlasting word, this gospel, has given us eternal life, then our family is an everlasting one. Our new family is not one of natural birth, but one of supernatural. We belong because we have a shared identity. We are children of the same Father. So, brothers and sisters, the call to love our fellow Christians is not based on their likability. It is based on our shared belonging. Because we have a shared new birth through God's word, we love one another. We don't judge by outward appearances or personality, not by the flesh which fades. We love because we can see the work of God's word, his gospel, in their life. What if we took this call seriously? Remember the very words of Jesus in John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus says other people will know we belong to him by our love. Don't we want to be the kind of church that the world looks at and says, I want to be a part of that? They have such genuine love for each other. This point hit home for me when I was going through youth group with a mix-match bunch of guys. Like, on one side of our group, we had the sporty guys. On another side, we had dudes whose idea of fun was to play board games about dragons. But we also had a connection that went so far beyond the flesh. We had a shared belonging. We were children of the same Father, and so we loved one another deeply. That is the kind of love Peter is talking about. But he also shows us what this love looks like in action. Chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. We are to avoid things that tear others down rather than building them up. All these sins mentioned in 2 verse 1, they aim at serving ourselves by pushing others down. On the other hand, love seeks the good of the other. It seeks to build others up. This love is costly. It causes us to put aside our interests, and it serves others. So how about we give this a crack today? Who is someone that you need to love? I mean, let's start with the person in the row next to you. Love that person. Love your pastors. Love your elders. Love the youth kids. Love the Sunday school kids. Love the people who are hard to love, because we weren't easy to love. And look at what God did. Let's love one another deeply because of the shared belonging we have. God has given us one another. We belong in heaven. We belong to God. But we also belong to one another right here and right now. In our messy family, let's get on with loving our siblings because of the shared and enduring lineage we have, because of the Father we all belong to. And finally, as God's children, we are to long for his word. Verse 2 and 3. Like newborn infants, right? Peter's reminding us that we belong, we're children of God. But what are we to do with that belonging? How do we live it out? Well, we are to long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We long for the pure milk, God's word, because by it we grow as Christians. If we've tasted that God is good, then we should have a longing for more of him. And we get to know him by drinking deeply from his word. We cry after his word like a baby cries for milk. Now, telling Christians to read the Bible is hardly a new idea. We hear it often in sermons and applications, and I think we can treat reading our Bibles a bit like eating vegetables as kids, right? We often don't feel like doing it, but we begrudgingly do it because, well, we have a vague idea that it'll be good for us. So let me encourage you to long for the Word in this way. Think about this. God wrote a book. The Creator is an author. He hasn't left us to try and rummage around for clues as to what He might be like. He's revealed Himself to us in a language that we can understand. I think we can sometimes look at this and see a boring wall. But it isn't a wall. This thing is a window. By looking through it, we see the Father, what He is like, what He has done for us. We see where we belong and what the Father calls us to be like. God wrote a book, and the words on these pages waken our dead and bored souls. They convict, confront, and comfort us. Let's look through this window for the rest of our lives. As Peter himself once so famously cried, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Friends, let's be children of the book, knowing who you belong to. Long for His word and drink of this milk, that you might get to know Him even more. So, brothers and sisters, you belong. Might we never recover from the fact that we are called children of God. Sinners like us have been forgiven, welcomed into the family, given a seat at the table, and our lives, they're fundamentally changed. We go from here with grace to live in a difficult world. So, live like you belong. Heaven is your home, so in the good times and the hard times, lift your eyes to your future. Live like you belong. The holy God is your Father, so be holy like Him and invite others into His great family. Live like you belong. Remember your redemption and your loving Father and Judge, and then live reverent lives in this world. Live like you belong. You have an eternal family with siblings sitting beside you today. So let's love one another and walk through this difficult world together. Live like you belong. The Father has revealed Himself to you. So drink deeply from His word as you get to know Him more. So, have you ever felt like you don't really belong in this world? Like you're out of place? Well, I think you will feel like that. But you do belong somewhere else. You belong as children of the Father. And this belonging can never be taken from you. Right? If we put our belonging in the things of the world, our jobs, our popularity, that can be taken from us. This belonging as children of the Father can never be taken. It is secure in His steadfast hands. So let's live it out. Remember, you're a child of God, and then act like it. Live like you belong. J.I. Packer, the great theologian, once said that there are six things that Christians should tell themselves every day, repeating as we wake up, wait for a bus, go for a walk, or sleep at night. Here are the six things he gives us to help you remember and live out your belonging. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. And every Christian is my brother too. Dear church, live like you belong. You're a part of his family. You've been bought by his son. So now we set out to live as children of the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we can call upon you as our Father. We thank you for your word today, that it has shown us where we belong and it has called us to live like it. We ask that you would give us grace, you would help us by your Spirit to go from here to live in the midst of a difficult world, even though we're outsiders and exiles, that the way we live would show the world who we belong to. We pray that you would do this work in us by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.